Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening, and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, April 4th. This is your boy Matt Shook, an AP sports writer here in Chicago, covering the NBA, been a Pistons follower my whole life, and sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. And the Pistons have one more chance before they can officially call it a wrap on a season and trying to get to the postseason. But today we're going to be looking ahead to Wednesday's game, which is the next chance to go brick by brick and try to pull the miracle backdoor entrance into the playoffs. Pistons will be playing the Philadelphia 76ers at home. But we're also going to be recapping the bad night of NBA basketball from a Pistons perspective on Tuesday night. We're also going to be talking to Denzel Valentine of the Chicago Bulls, a Michigan State graduate, as he talks about his season that actually came to an end. Will come to an end today with his surgery that he's going to have on his knee. A minor surgery, but he's also talking about how he rooted for his brother Drew Valentine in the Loyola Ramblers, the assistant coach there in Chicago during the NCAA tournament. And I also asked Denzel about the NBA potential of a former now Michigan State players Jaren Jackson Jr. and Miles Bridges at the NBA draft approaches. And I also have a short segment later, we're going to be talking about the team awards for the Pistons, an idea that I stole from the Reddit thread the other day, where if the MVP, the Rookie of the Year, the Most Improved Player had to come from the Detroit Pistons, who would they be if the Pistons were the only ones eligible? I will say this, Stan Van Gundy would probably be Coach of the Year because he's the only coach of the Pistons. So congratulations to Stan for winning Coach of the Year in this thought exercise that we're going to have a little bit later on the show. But on Tuesday, the Miami Heat topped the Atlanta Hawks 101-98 in a game that clinched the playoffs for the Miami Heat as they closed on an 11-0 run as they looked about midway through the fourth that they might drop that one, actually. But the Atlanta Hawks became the Atlanta Hawks at the end of the game. And it just kind of shows you why you can't count on those tanking teams in the spring come NBA season. They're very serious about losing, apparently, with those teams these days. The Milwaukee Bucks, by the way, topped the Boston Celtics 106-102. You also can't count on the good teams because some of the times those guys get injured, as was the case with the Celtics, who were without Terry Rozier on Tuesday night. He joined the likes of Kyrie Irving, Marcus Smart, Shane Larkin, of course, Gordon Hayward for them, on guys that did not play for the Celtics on that night. So the Heat are now in the playoffs with the victory, and Miami is very, very close. I'm sorry, Milwaukee is very, very close. That's the one chance that the Pistons have left of a team to chase. And the tragic number for Detroit and magic number for Milwaukee is now down to one, which means if Milwaukee wins any of its four last games, or if Detroit loses any of its five last games, then Detroit is out. And, of course, that is a thing that we've been counting down for the last couple weeks. So the dream will be dead, and that could possibly happen tonight if the Pistons can't take care of business at home against the Philadelphia 76ers at Little Caesars Arena. The Sixers did play on Tuesday night, so they'll be on the second half of a back-to-back, but they did get their 11th straight win against the Brooklyn Nets, so the Philadelphia 76ers are surging right now. They are in fourth place in the Eastern Conference, so hoping to keep that home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. We will see if they are able to do that with the game in Detroit on Wednesday night. They're in a dogfight with it right now as they are only a half game behind the Cleveland Cavaliers for third place in the East and ahead of a little bit on Indiana, who is in fifth. So right now they're looking at that 4-5 matchup with the 76ers in Indiana, which could end up being a pretty good series to keep an eye on. Joel Embiid is out for the regular season the rest of the year for the 76ers, although he is expected to be back for the playoffs after having a face surgery. Dario Saric missed last night's game, and he's also not coming to Detroit because of the injury, so the Sixers will be down a little bit. But since the last time we've seen them, Philly has added Marco Bellinelli and also Irsan Ilyasova from the buyout market, so they are rolling right now. Although Detroit is one-point favorites in this game as of late Wednesday night or early Wednesday morning when I'm taping this podcast. The Pistons go into the game at 37-40 with just five games to go. A 4-1 finish would give the Pistons a 500 season, and that might be something to shoot for as the playoff dream will soon be very dead, but maybe even 5-0 if you're optimistic, and hopefully the Pistons could finish above 500. But after Wednesday's Tonight's game against the Philadelphia 76ers at home. The Pistons will have another game Friday at home against Dallas. Then they're going to go on the road for Memphis. Home again for the season finale at Little Caesars Arena against the Toronto Raptors. And then we'll close the year on a week from Wednesday, April 11th, at the United Center against the Chicago Bulls in a game that I will be covering for the Associated Press. On Tuesday night, I was also on the job for AP as I covered the Bulls taking on the Charlotte Hornets. And that's where I talked to Denzel Valentine of the Michigan State Spartans and also the Bulls about his season and some other interesting topics for you guys to check out. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 to 44, then you should be sponsoring Locked On Pistons. We are listened to by 98% men and 80% between those ages of 18 and 44. So if you want to reach that demo, this is your spot. Plus, we got reasonable rates. So email me to find out more at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we're going to be giving out the Pistons Team Awards. If the Detroit Pistons were the only ones eligible for the NBA Individual Awards, who would they go to? But up next is our talk with Denzel Valentine. This interview was done on Tuesday before the Bulls took on the Charlotte Hornets. Earlier in the day, it was announced that Denzel would have a minor but a season-ending surgery in Chicago on Wednesday today. It was the second season for Valentine in Chicago. His numbers jumped up by double in most of the counting categories this year, averaging 10 points and 5 rebounds and 3 assists per game. For context, this was in the Bulls locker room, and it was me and a few other reporters, including Joe Cowley of the Sun-Times, who asked a question about Villanova beating Michigan in the national championship game on Monday night. And then the talk turns into some ribbing and back and forth between Denzel and Vinny Goodwill, who has been on the show here with us, and he's a reporter for NBC Sports Chicago, and he covers the Chicago Bulls, a noted Michigan fan who's been giving it back and forth with Denzel during Vinny and Denzel's time here in Chicago. A little bit more ribbing later on from Cowley to Goodwill, as Vinny, like I said, big Michigan fan, but actually went to Eastern Michigan, so he gives it back to Cowley a little bit. Cowley's a Kent State graduate, apparently, so good times there. As you know, Denzel Valentine from Lansing, a proud MSU Spartan, has the logo and Spartan dogs tattooed on his arm. He was in San Antonio for the Final Four over the weekend watching his brother Drew's team, who an assistant coach for the Loyola Ramblers. Drew was at Oakland University and also before that was at Michigan State as a graduate assistant. So anyway, here's the interview with Denzel Valentine.
Can you talk about Villanova and that ass whooping?
Oh, go ahead. They was a better team yesterday.
They finally played a real team for the tournament. You know what I'm saying? They took the easy route there, you know.
What route did y'all take?
Never mind.
Hey, Pasa?
Yeah, I can't say nothing.
No, say it. Let's move on.
All right, anyway, let's move on.
What's your feelings about, obviously, you know, Fred said it, if you had to go, you could probably play through it, but just to get a jump on this thing, go ahead, get it done so you can start getting that rehab process done. Is that kind of the best way to sum it up?
Yeah. You know, going in and having an MRI yesterday and then finding out, you know, there actually is something wrong that I need a, you know, procedure done. It's like, you know, I could sit here and fight through and grind it out, but you never know what's going to happen. It could get worse. I got that in the back of my mind now. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of stuff that goes on with knowing that you have to get a procedure at the end of the year. And So I kind of just wanted to get it done right now so I can get a jump start with my rehab and have a strong summer.
What kind of recovery time are they talking about?
Shoot, I'll be able to walk out the hospital, so right. It's going to be, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So, I mean, I had the same thing done in college my senior year, and I was back playing within 2 weeks.
Yeah, you missed 4 games, I want to say?
Yeah, 4 games.
So is your understanding it's going to be a similar procedure to what happened in college?
Very similar. I think he's going to be in there, you know, just real quick, just to take the whatever's in there, clean out whatever's in there, and then I'm done. So,
what do you want to do this summer once you rehab? What's your long-term plan for the summer?
Just get as healthy as I can get. You know, I had a pretty healthy year this year, so kind of pretty much the same thing as last summer. But you know, I'm not gonna have to worry about summer league. So, you know, just not rush anything, because I kind of like, after, you know, my surgery last year, I think I kind of like rushed it a little bit. So this summer is just take my time, get as healthy as I can get better, and so I can get this season out running next year. So,
how do you judge your season so far? I mean, your numbers basically doubled across the board. Is it kind of the improvement you expected to see?
Yeah, I think I had overall a good year. I improved. I think I had a solid year. It's definitely trending in the right direction to where I wanted to go. So just got to keep getting better, and hopefully my numbers double again next year. You know, you never know. So my plan is to double what I did this year and have a great year, great third year.
Last year when you left kind of the season-ending meetings, management told you you'd have a bigger role.
Yeah.
Do you expect any conversation like that again? Do you feel like you fit in well now, or like how do you fit in as far as workload and responsibility just moving forward?
Yeah, I feel like I should have a bigger role next year. I definitely should be a starter coming in. Definitely want to improve, be a for sure starter on this team. I think I can be a consistent player at this level, somebody they can rely on, night in, night out, somebody who defends, makes shots, makes plays for others, plays the game the right way, and is a competitor. So I definitely think I'm a starter in this league.
What kind of concerns, if any, do you have that, I know they're minor procedures, but there's still going to be the second surgery on this one. I know that one was separate from a football injury, but these, what kind of concerns are there having two on the same knee?
It's not much of a concern for me because I know that I trust the training staff we have here, the weight coaches that we have, and I know how to be a better professional as far as taking care of my body, doing the things I need to, eating right, pacing myself throughout the year. You know, I think this start of this year, you know, in the summer, like I said, I kind of rushed it, and I kind of, you know, increased my workloads really quickly at the beginning of the year, and I kind of think it just kind of built up over time. So, like I said, you know, I know my body. I know how to be a professional now. It's year three. I'm just going to take my time and try to be as healthy as I can.
Dunzo, you guys have had to answer competitive questions, whether it was tanking questions or your draft position, possible draft position all year. Is it kind of been a bizarre year when you think about it? You guys are trying to win games, but at the same time, you want this team to be better, and being better may possibly be losing games. Looking back on it all, how have you guys balanced that where you didn't get caught up in all the tanking talk and all the, you know, you, I mean, it would have been easy to get involved in it.
I mean, you just got to take a step back and then just realize, you know, that this is your job to come here and compete. You can't worry about, you know, the franchise plans or this and that or what people want you to do or anything like that. You just got to do your job as far as making sure I'm ready to play, making sure when I'm in the game, I'm playing the best that I can of my abilities. I'm making the right plays, shooting the right shots, playing defense. And, you know, if people don't like it, you know, team doesn't like it, whatever, and they don't like it. But as long as you can say that you competed and, you know, you played your best, I think that's all that matters in my eyes. I don't know about everybody else, but I think that's what matters.
What has your brother said the last couple days about the run that they made?
You know, it's a hell of an accomplishment. You know, they made it to the Final Four. Nobody expected them to even make it to the tournament. So to make it to the tournament and then take it to the extreme of make it to the Final Four and finish. I think the final rankings came out. They were number 7. So to finish the season, one of the top 10 teams in the country is huge. And I think they're really satisfied with their year and for their future.
You going to campaign for your brother to become head coach if Porter Moser
leaves? Whatever move that he makes is going to be a good move. So I'm not worried about that.
What fun was it for you to be in the stands? A situation you're not into, usually.
Yeah, it was a little weird, just as far as, like, walking to the arena, you know, being amongst the fans and, you know, stopping to take pictures and Michigan fans giving me a lot of crap. walking there. But it was fun though. I enjoyed it. You know, it was cool being a fan at a sporting event for once, and you know, and really getting to experience that.
They scored just as many points as Michigan State did in the Final Four this year.
How did Eastern Michigan do?
Kent State?
Is that
yeah,
well,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
They weren't in the tournament.
This is a Michigan conversation.
Well, how did
you imagine? Nice sense of.
Is this even bothering you for a little while, or was it something that just popped up?
It bothered me at the beginning of the season for like a couple of days. It went away for the rest of the season until we got back from Detroit. And, you know, I tried to toughen it out, played the three games on a road trip, and then went in, took an MRI, and found out that I had to have a little cleanup. So it is what it is. I got to have the procedure, and you know, hopefully everything works out.
Is it like loose bodies in your cartilage room?
Yes, something like that. I don't know the all the specifics and doctor terms and all that, but it's something like that, just a cleanup. He said it's not going to be anything major. You know, I'll be out, 10 days before I can, you know, start doing activity and all that. So, you know, but at least we know what's going on now instead of, you know, just wondering and thinking about what's going on with my body, at least though.
You guys plan to have another summer of extended training camp, kind of like you did last year when everybody was here?
Yeah, for the most part, guys are going to be here. Or, you know, wherever we're at. But, you know, we're going to get together and train throughout the summer. And, you know, we got a pretty close-knit group of guys. So we're going to try to take this thing to another level. I think, you know, we show flashes, and I think we're definitely going to take it to the next level.
How would you size up the NBA futures for Jaren and Miles from Michigan State?
I'm really excited for them. I think they're going to have impacts in this league right away. You know, Jaren, he's a really skilled, you know, big man who can do lots of things on the court. He's a competitor, long, you know, typical NBA modernized big man. So he's a really good piece for a team. And Miles is, you know, that utility guy who's going to, you know, make shots, make plays, knows the game. He's going to compete and comes from a winning program. So those two guys are going to have a great, great NBA career. So I'm excited to see where those guys go.
Quick reminder that the Pistons GT team will be making their first selection in team history today. The NBA 2K League, which we talked about on Tuesday's podcast, is holding the inaugural draft at 1 p.m. today at Madison Square Garden in New York. Pistons GT will be drafting 6 gamers to live in Detroit and represent the Detroit franchise in the 17-team 2K League Summer of Gaming that will be coming up. We'll be talking about that a little bit more as the summer rolls on here on Locked On Pistons. But I caught an interesting topic on Reddit that I'm just going to go ahead and steal and use as our final segment today. If the NBA awards individual-wise were only for Pistons players that are eligible for those awards, who would they go to? And the user that posted those had these as his picks. He had Andre Drummond as the most improved player. He had Anthony Tolliver as the sixth man of the year. He also had Drummond as the defensive player of the year. The rookie of the year, obviously, was Luke Kennard. And for MVP, he had Reggie Jackson, kind of using the defense that the Pistons have been much better with Jackson in the lineup and much worse without him in the lineup. Now, it's funny because as you look at these awards, the main ones that are the debatable ones, Reggie Bullock and Andre Drummond are kind of the guys that qualify for consideration on all of these, except for sixth man and rookie, because neither of those guys are sixth man and rookie. But the other ones, it's like Reggie Bullock and Andre Drummond are kind of the guys that you would look at for him. And then, of course, there's the wrinkle that Tobias Harris would have qualified for consideration in MVP if he wasn't traded, and that maybe Blake Griffin would have been in consideration for some of these awards, and like I said, most possibly MVP if he were here longer before the trade happened. But for most improved player, I'm going to agree with Andre Drummond, especially when you look at the free throw improvement that he's made this year. It's kind of a no-brainer, Bullock maybe being the other one that you might consider for that award. For sixth man, I'm also going to agree with Anthony Tolliver. So far, easy ones right now for these awards. gets a little bit tougher with Defensive Player of the Year. The user had Drummond for that one, but I'm going to go with Stanley Johnson over Drummond just because some of the individual efforts that he's had against some of the top players in the league, as opposed to, I don't really think, can't think back of many signature games that Drummond has had. Obviously, you can chalk up a little bit of the defensive rebounding for being Drummond. And when you look at defensive rating, I just looked it up, the numbers, and Drummond's a little bit better than Johnson and those. But, you know, guys like James Ennis and even Jameer Nelson has better defensive ratings than Andre Drummond. So that tells you what you need to know maybe about some of the defensive stats out there in terms of analytics. But just the improvements that Johnson has made, the impact that he's made, and maybe the, you know, the ability to come out once or twice a game and really have a defensive play out there that leads to some fast break action and really impressive stuff. And I know that Andre Drummond's made a lot of strides defensively and is talking about leading the league in blocks and going forward a little bit, but I think some more development in his game needs to come there. But I have no qualm with Andre Drummond being the pick for Defensive Player of the Year. You know, just going to go with Stanley here. Just a little bit step slow right now for Andre Drummond. So, and like I said, it's a little bit boring to agree with everything for the user. Obviously, Rookie of the Year is going to be Luke Kennard. We have to agree with that one. I think the only other player that the Pistons even qualify for that award would be Eric Moreland. He's only had 11 games in his career before this year, so he qualifies, I believe, I think. But obviously, that one's going to be the first-round pick out of Duke. But then the MVP, the user there went with Reggie Jackson. This one's definitely Andre Drummond. I don't think there's really any choice there, just the way that he's carried this team this season. I can see the logic, I guess, with Reggie Jackson, but for me, he doesn't even make my top three on my ballot. For number two, I'm going with Reggie Bullock. And for number three, I'm going with Tobias Harris, even though obviously the fact that he didn't play with the Pistons after the trade deadline hurts his cause, but I think he was so great in the time that he was a Piston that I'm still going to put him three on my ballot. Fourth, I think it's kind of a close one on my ballot between Reggie Jackson and Blake Griffin. You know, Griffin did a lot of great things offensively in his time as a Piston, and Jackson, I do buy a little bit of the argument that the Pistons are a lot better team with him, but the fact of the matter is that they weren't with him for 37 games, and you can't win MVP if you sit out 37 games. So same logic that I would apply to the NBA league-wide MVP award is the same one that I'm going to hold the Detroit Pistons to in terms of accountability. So, you know, and also, we're talking about Reggie Jackson, I think this falls under the trend of something that I've talked a little bit about here on the podcast before, but there's just a lot of revisionist history with Reggie Jackson. The Pistons had their best season in the past handful of years, 2 years ago, when Reggie Jackson was at his best season as a pro, and then the fact that the Pistons are 25-15 this year right now with Reggie Jackson and struggled mightily with him out of the lineup. And yes, there's a lot to those stats, and the Pistons are a much, much better team with Reggie Jackson than they are without Reggie Jackson. But most of that has to do with the fact that their drop-off to their backup point guard is a huge one. Ish Smith is a nice change-of-pace bench-type point guard, but we saw in excruciating detail this year how bad of a starting point guard that he would be in this league. And I think that the Reggie defenders out there, the Reggie Jackson defenders out there, I think that they're a little bit overzealous these days in terms of how good he is and how good the Pistons can be going forward if he's healthy. I think that where you fall in the spectrum of Reggie Jackson is pretty much how it shapes your perception of where this team is headed right now. And I think there's a lot of you out there, maybe you're listeners, maybe you're not, but looking through things a little bit too much rose-colored glasses in terms of Reggie Jackson. Even when he's healthy, he's a bit of a confounding player. He's frustrating to watch a lot of times, and I don't have the same positive feeling about this team going into next year that many of you have. Now, that being said, I do have a much more positive outlook than most of you guys on the other side of the fence that want to blow up the whole thing and hate the Blake Griffin trade and don't think that Reggie Jackson is a starting point guard in this league and all that kind of stuff too. When you think about the good record that the Pistons have had this year with Reggie Jackson, before the injury that he had the day after Christmas, it wasn't just because Reggie Jackson was playing well that the Pistons had such a good record. It had to do with the the strategy that Stan Van Gundy had implemented with Andre Drummond in the high post, the impressive play of Andre Drummond even outside of the passing from that high post that he did. The shooting of Tobias Harris is obviously probably the biggest reason that the Pistons played so well. The bench came out with Ish Smith leading the way, and Anthony Tolliver and Luke Kennard and Langston Galloway and all those guys who were playing so well at the beginning of the year. That had a lot to do with the energy that those guys had back then. And Avery Bradley was doing some things, especially very early on in the season, that were successful, helping the Pistons to be successful before he kind of tailed off before the trade and the injury that he had in the groin as well. So I think that to say that Reggie Jackson was healthy, so the Pistons were a very good team, is not a very, correct way of looking at the beginning of the season. And basically, since the injury that they've Pistons that he had, and the Pistons are playing really well since he's gotten back from the injury, again, most of those games, most of those wins are against completely garbage teams and teams that are trying to lose as they look ahead to the NBA draft. So just my thoughts there on the awards. I agree with some of them, disagree with a couple. Let me know what you guys think. Go on Reddit and give yourself a comment on that thread, or maybe even just reach out to me on social media. Let me know what you think. Speaking of social media, give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and also give us a follow at Locked On Pistons. Check out the Facebook page, Locked On Pistons-Matt Schoch. Give that a like as well. Listen to Locked On Lions with Matt Derry. Give him a follow on Twitter at Derry Speaks and all the other social media aspects of that show as well. But we're going to be talking about the game coming up on Wednesday night against the Philadelphia 76ers, recapping that one on Thursday's podcast, and also looking at the some other aspects of the Pistons as the season comes to a close here very soon. But thanks for listening, everyone, and we will talk to you all again very soon.